N8, DBR. There we go. Good morning. Morning. N8, DBR. Couldn't figure out why my radio wasn't hitting the repeater. I bumped the talk around button. What's that? Oh, in commercial radio, if you program the output of the repeater, simplex on the output of the repeater, we call that talk around. And there's a button on most commercial radios that can, or doesn't necessarily have to be, but is often programmed for talk around function. Gotcha. I have no experience with commercial radios. Yeah, you know, they were a captive audience. You know, they had exactly one repeater that they could operate on. They were licensed for it, and getting them a license for a separate simplex frequency would be more difficult, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, if they're licensed for the repeater and talk around, that gives them, you know, both a repeat and a simplex. And the nice thing about talk around is if, you know, if they leave the radio on the repeater and they're out of range and the other one flips down the talk around and says, hey, can you hear me? You know, go to channel 2. And, or, you know, whatever it is, and they go, oh, and they flip that, they go, oh, yeah, I can hear you now, you know, it's like, yeah, we're out of range of the repeater. They don't know that, you know, they just know that they can go direct and not be on the repeater if they go to, you know, if they even grasp that concept. I feel like you're in a similar situation that I am with trying to educate your end users on how to use things. Yeah, they're pretty good at it. It's gotten simple. You know, many, many years ago, we went to plain language, and that's why I get a twitch when I hear lingo, handles, any kind of crap like that up on ham radio. Or we use a little bit in ham radio, let's face it, you know, QSL and, you know, and stuff like that. But I just find this, especially on repeaters, there's just no need for lingo and Ken codes and Q codes and all that other stuff. Those things have their place. But once we got to plain language, it was all pretty easy.
Yeah, like HF, not on an FM repeater where you can hear everything just fine.
Right, right. I think people want to be in the club, so, you know, they got to learn the lingo. You know, whether it be, you know, CB lingo or, you know, which commercial lingo or, you know, ham radio lingo. Like, you want to be in the club, right? And, you know, that's what better way to show you're in than to use the lingo. But, you know, improper use is fringe, so a lot of people don't, it doesn't bother a lot of people, it bugs me. I wouldn't say it bothers, you know, strong word. It's more indicative of the people using it. I hear people using, you know, stuff, you know, I just think like this, you know, if your grandmother was introducing you to her friends from bingo, you know, would you say it like that, you know, or would you, you know, talk like you would talking to your family. So, ah, well. What are you going to do? QRZ, Roger, over.
I try to refrain from that on HF, too. Like, if I'm doing an activation, it's, you know, QSL and QRZ is about as far as I'll go, just because it is noisy. And, I'm not a big Q code guy. I mean, I'm young in this hobby, and in my opinion, everyone already thinks we're nerds, and then when we start talking in Q code, I think we just look even nerdier.
I think nerds are sexy now, aren't they? Isn't that the hot thing? Or was that last decade? HF is where it's for, you know? I mean, if you're on HF working phone, you know, by all means, check out the Q codes, you know, because, you know, they will help, you say less to convey more, and you may have conditions that warrant it. That's exactly where you would use it. Or in CW, of course, where you want to keep things, you know, short and to the point. You know, you say a lot with a lot fewer keystrokes. So, yeah, it's, you know, there are places, and HF is one of them. Simplex, you know, even the Roger beeps, you know, they're cringe on repeaters, but you know, in Simplex, they could have a purpose. I still don't think you need them on FM Simplex, but you could, you know. You're a long ways away, and so you could tell the person, you know, when they're real noisy, you can tell they're done. So, you know, perhaps there's a use case for them on FM Simplex could be made. But enough on that. What's it supposed to be today? It looks like rain coming in.
Yeah, my watch says 53, and where the hell is the rain? I don't know how to, oh wait, here we go. 45% chance.
Holy cow, you got 53? I'm down here at 16 in Van Dyke, and I've got 39.
No, high of 53, my bad. I've got 39 on my truck.
Oh, the high of, okay. I was going to say, wow, I'm driving up there. But, yeah, not too bad. I wear a hoodie today. I was debating on whether I'm wearing my, I got a light, like a real lightweight fleece that I, not fleece, one of them puffy jackets. Is that down? I don't even know if it's down anymore. But it's kind of like a lightweight down, and that thing's warm as hell. I said, I'm going to just wear a hoodie today.
Yeah, I think we're finally in that era where that'll suffice. I don't think you're going to need much more than that unless you're going to be outside for a period of time. I'm wearing a t-shirt and it's like a golf jacket, I guess. It's just a Under Armour windbreaker that's got no insulation, and it's like the perfect amount of I'm good outside, I'm good inside, I'm not sweating, and I'm not freezing kind of deal.
Man, that's something I learned in recent years. I mean, I guess I've always known it, but a good windbreaking shell can really, really up the ante. You know, if you've got, you could wear a light, you know, some sort of a lightweight warmth layer, like a hoodie or something, or you know, and then throw some sort of a windbreaking shell over it, that just takes the whole package up quite a bit.
When I could finally afford good hunting gear and I started buying Sitka, that's when, like, a light bulb went off. Because all their stuff is, like, Gore-Tex windbreaker, all that. So, like, you know, it keeps the elements off you rather than just adding more insulation. And I can put on a coat that you would never expect to go stand out in freezing cold and wind, and I'm totally fine. And the wind is what kills you. It just rips the heat off you.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard you guys talking about that stuff. Sounds really good. And I have to check it out one of these days. Yeah, that's the key. Keep this stuff off you. Don't get wet. Don't let the cold just sink in or anything like that. A good shell, you know, which you wouldn't think it's lightweight. You know, you wouldn't think would have all that much benefit. But, man, it makes everything underneath just 10 times more effective. So, good deal. I'd have to see how lately is he talking? Because I was heavy into it back in the days. You know, our stuff was heavy. We had Gore-Tex that was just coming out, and you know, but there was still a lot of wool even. In fact, some of my, you know, I got some hand-me-downs, you know, from the older guys, you know, some old of the red and black wool. Man, that stuff was just classic. I hated giving some of that up. I held out on that. I had a pair of bibs, and I held out on those for quite some time.
You know, it's funny you say that. All my base layers are wool. Merino wool, like quarter zips or long sleeves, and then long johns. I mean, that stuff, talk about adaptive. I mean, I'll put that on, like this coming turkey season, so in the mornings, right, what is it, 39 right now, which is actually pretty warm, but if you're sitting, it's cold. So I'll put on, you know, my base layer of merino wool, and then like a light pant or a semi-insulated pant. Same thing with the top, I'll put on like my merino wool and a vest, and that'll get me through the whole day. Even if it heats up to 60 degrees, merino wool is probably the best material you can wear. Because it whisks moisture away, it doesn't get disgusting, and it's like adaptive.
Oh yeah, yes it is. It's I mean, hey, that was pretty good for the sheep, doesn't it?
Yep. I mean, if you look at sheep in the snow, they got snow piled on them, and it's not melting.
Yeah, sometimes it don't pay to fight it, but I just love that old Elmer Fudd red and black plaid stuff that we used to have. It's, you know, everybody, you know, when I first started hunting back in the 70s, you know, there was still tons of that out there, and, you know, a guy would have, like, you know, they made the Hunter's Orange, you know, the thing, and they'd add one piece, like, they'd throw a vest over their, you know, their outfit, or they just wear a hat or something like that. But you know, nowadays we didn't have camo either. You know, the only way you had camo was a ghillie suit. Nobody did that, of course, unless you were hunting yotes or something.
I've shot plenty of animals in plain clothes, jeans and a t-shirt. Animals that have incredible vision, like turkeys. So I think a lot of what has become of all the hunting gear now. There's brands out there like Sitka and Kuyu and First Light that are, in my opinion, they're primarily focus-based or performance-based, but then there's a lot of brands out there that are just like, look at me, like Kryptek. I think everyone that wears Kryptek is like, look at me, I look so cool. Like, it's almost like it's a fashion statement now.
What is Kryptek? Is that some sort of pattern or something?
It's a pattern that's in the tactical crowd, and they do make camo, and it's some of the worst quality stuff I've ever seen in my entire life.
Roger, I'll tell you what, I know you too. You also agree with this sentiment, but, you know, I'm a firm believer in buy once, cry once. In whatever I do, you know, I'd rather just save up, get the right stuff, do it once. You know, my problem has always been with the hunting gear, you know, the clothing in particular is my weight fluctuates. You know, if I buy it for Fat Sean, then, you know, it's too big for Lean Sean, and if I buy it for Lean Sean, he can't fit in it. You know, it's that weight fluctuation is what kills me.
Especially with base layers, it's tough. But I've had, someone was giving me crap the other day, because Sick is not cheap, but I get pro staff discount through a couple of my buddies, and I've had the same pair. I've never had to rebuy any of it, is what I'm getting at here. Is I've got every season, every Michigan game, you know, that I'm hunting, and I've had all of this stuff since purchase. So my oldest gear is coming up on 6 years old, and I hunt in it every year, and it's held up great. None of it's had to be repaired. I'm not nice to it. Like, I've got a pair of bibs and a jacket that I've literally rolled around in a field in multiple times, and it's totally fine. So 100%. You got to buy once, cry once, and everyone that doesn't do that, which was doing what I was doing, I was buying the cheaper stuff like Drake waterfowl or whatever, and I was buying that stuff every season because it would start leaking or the zippers would break or just stupid stuff.
Yep. There's a company, I think they're out of Minnesota or Wisconsin, I can't remember where, but they do riding gear called Road Crafter, and pretty expensive stuff. And it's almost like the uniform amongst BMW riders. You know, it's like every group, you know, has its dress code. You know, it's like, you know, bikers, same way with the black leather and the boots and all that stuff, and, you know, very few variations from the required uniform. And these BMW riders with their Road Crafter, you know, stuff is same way. It's very expensive as well. But this stuff, I think they have lifetime guarantee. Anything goes wrong with it, you send it in, they'll repair it, fix it. You know, stuff's very, very expensive, but very good stuff. I looked at it for a hot minute. I got a BMW, and I was riding it quite heavily for a few years back, about 20 years ago, when I was just getting back into motorcycling. I actually thought about getting one of them. Never did. So, but, I don't know if, it would be the equivalent to that Sika that you're talking about. I looked that up. I did once before when you and Anthony were gabbing about it. Can't recall, though.
Yeah, they've got some stuff like that. I don't know what the warranty is on the regular gear. For the most part, it's all repairable, right? Like YKK zippers and Gore-Tex and all that stuff. Like, it can be fixed. But they do sell waders, which are $1,000. It's insanity. But they have a warranty on them to where if you ship them in, they'll repair them for free. Like, they're serviceable waders versus buying cheaper waders every season, which same thing. That's what I was doing forever. I was buying $150 pair of waders every year because I put holes in them. I have not caved and bought the Sika ones, but I bought LaCrosse ones, which are very, very similar, and I've had them for going on 5 years also. So it's like, you get what you pay for, and a lot of people don't realize that. They'll just, well, that's a lot of money. Like, my buddy just did the same thing. He saw some Beretta makes hunting gear, and they had it on sale at Bass Pro, and he bought some. And he was like, this is great stuff. I'm like, dude, you're going to get a season and a half out of that, and you're going to have to buy it again. But, yeah, I'm with you. You just buy what... buy what's going to last, even if it costs more up front. It's probably going to be cheaper in the long run.
Roger. All right, let me navigate the Starbucks here. They look like they got the most jacked up parking lot here. In fact, I think I'm going to bypass them now that I mention it. I'm going to try to get my ass into the Dunkin' Donuts here, which is even worse. I got a Dunkin' Donuts at the corner of Cass and Grosbeck, but I got to be ready to shoot if I can get in this place.
All right, I'll be standing by for a second.
All right, yeah, I gotta do a little finagling to get in here. It's a real mess. All right, I'll be back. W8FU.
NABBF.
Oh, you guys talking about this hunting. I just had four good-sized elk run right across the road from me. KT8SZT. Hopefully there's no more.
Well, good thing you didn't hit them.
Yeah, they crossed about 100 yards in front of me, so... yep, luckily, because that would have been a bad day, but I'm in a work vehicle, so it wouldn't have been too bad, but then I wouldn't be without a vehicle, I'd have to wait for a tow truck, all that crap. And our tow trucks come from Centerline, and I work in Flint, because that's where our headquarters is, so they send them from that area and then tow us down to Warren to get repaired.
Yeah, you were doing it a bad way. That's not a good way to start Friday.
Yeah, it's, isn't this, this is mating season, right, for them, so they're going to be out and about looking for food.
They should actually already be pregnant, but, yeah, they're dumb right now, that's for sure. They're not being hunted, so they're just out and about.
Yeah, might be a mess hitting a pregnant deer. How many, it's been a while, I gotta turn that APRS down. It's been a while since I've been hunting and learned about deer, but how many, I don't know if they call them babies or what they call them, fawn, how many fawn do they have, do you know?
One or two, typically one. I don't know that they can have three. If they do, it's definitely an anomaly.
Gotcha. Yeah, I wonder how they, how their population gets so high so fast then. That's all I've been hearing about is the deer's population's crazy around here right now. And the licensing is going up by, what did they say, $8 or $10, I guess?
Yeah, Gretchen's an idiot. Numbers are in decline, and she thinks raising the price is going to fix that. So I don't know what that's all about. But they've been complaining about a decline in active hunters for a long time, and then they just keep jacking the price up of the license, which, don't get me wrong, I love supporting, you know, our conservation and all that, and I don't care for any three-letter, you know, government body, but the DNR does a decent job of protecting the wildlife. But, yeah, I don't know. They hand out block tags, which I'm on a couple farms, where we can hunt all spring and summer and shoot as many deer as we possibly can to reduce the population, but we don't even put a dent in the actual problem, which is the hundreds of thousands of whitetails that are running around Macomb, Oakland, Lapeer. You know, it's a prime habitat. They're all safe. No one hunts, and tons of them are in the cities.
Right, yeah, I don't know if any of these government cutbacks affected them, but I know the DNR themselves come out about once a year and take down a big part of the population. I don't know what they do if they process and donate that meat or what they do with it.
I think they donate a lot of it. That's another problem we have in our politic-driven hunting world of Michigan. Most states that have population control permits, you can shoot them and let them lie. Michigan, they require you to harvest them. So I can shoot 15 deer in one night in July, and then I have to harvest them. So, you know, yeah, here, go ahead, shoot all the deer you want. But then it's like, well, there's a huge caveat to that, so then you don't do that. So, really, there's no population control whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm a believer in don't kill anything unless you're going to eat it, you know. So, yeah, that kind of sucks.
I am too, but it's one of those things where you kind of have to separate your beliefs and morals and ethics, because it's not really hunting. I had this conversation with my dad the other day because he shoots with me, and I'm like, this isn't hunting. Like, this is population control. It's culling is what it is, and you know, we're not treating this like game. We're doing a job for the farmers, for the agriculture, for the crops, for all that. Like, you got to kind of remove yourself from the hunting ethics part of it, because unfortunately, when you're sitting on the tailgate and it's July and you're shooting deer, it's not really hunting.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a better way to look at it, I guess. Yeah, because they are destructive, that's for sure. And then, you know, all the people that are hitting them with their car, and then they're just sitting there on the side of the road. I see a lot of that, sitting on the side of the road rotting.
Yeah, the vehicle accidents and all that, I'm sure that plays a part in our high premiums in Michigan. Granted, we're a no-fault state. That's a whole other topic of discussion. But I'm sure our area, with the amount of deer we have and the amount of, you know, deer-involved collisions, that's got to have a factor on our premiums. But, yeah, no, it's a bummer. I bet you I passed 15 dead deer from my drive home, or from my house to work, They're just everywhere.
Yeah, I have them coming through my yard. I'm in Waterford, which is kind of like a, not really a city, more like a suburb, but yeah, I put out a bowl of mixed deer feed out there in the wintertime, and it's cool to watch them come through and eat the food. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. I mean, I'm not hunting them or baiting them or anything. I'm just feeding them. I don't know if that's harming anything or not.
Yeah, I don't know if you are allowed to do that either. They, the law, again, three-letter government agency logic, CWD, they think if you put corn out, it's going to spread more, even though these deer eat in the same fields off the same plants and lick each other. So we're the problem. But, yeah, just be careful with it. Don't make it obvious you're putting it out.
I do the same.
Good morning, Sean. Yeah, I like it. I got a small herd in my yard.
Well, actually, in the neighbor's yard, seven deer. And I usually go to a tractor supply and buy a block and throw it out there in the colder months, in the really harsh winter months. And then sometimes I'll just get a bag of corn and I'll keep a bucket out there and I'll throw out some corn. I know it's a no-no, but they can stuff it. Good morning.
All right, guys, I'm going to jump out. I'm on my final stretch here to work. Casey, it has that too.
All right, man, good talking to you. Go ahead, Sean.
No, that was it. Man, what a mess, though. I got into that Dunkin' Donuts, and it's almost impossible to navigate in and out of their driveway, and it got out, but I had to go the wrong direction and cut into the sub, and now I'm trying to get across Cass on Rose, and what a pain, all to get my coffee.
I was going to say, the things we do for caffeine.
There we go. Okay, once you get across, I'm on Rose, which is a street that runs right up kind of behind my office, so once you get across Cass, it's pretty good. But with the sun coming up in the east, everybody going east on Cass is having trouble seeing, so you got to be real careful. But anywho, decided for Dunkin' Donuts this morning. Got myself a toasted multigrain bagel with a cup of Joe. So life is good. Tiger opener today as well. So with that, I've been... I don't know if you know or not, I've been down the rabbit hole of audio, you know, stereo. Been purchasing some equipment and getting ready to get it set up, make a listening room. Used to do that a long, long time ago, so I've been exploring that a lot lately. Haven't been exploring too much. I've been actually looking at my ham radio stuff saying, I got too much of this crap.
I did hear you talking about that the other day. It got me thinking, I've got a pair of, I forgot what ohm they are, I think they're 80 ohm, Beyer Dynamic overears that I absolutely love. I bought them for my 7300 back when I had that for playing HF in the shack. But I'm trying to avoid the access ham radio gear, man. I think I'm smarter this go-around after replenishing my gear of not buying more than I need.
Oh, God, not me. I stumble over the stuff everywhere, and it's like, you know, one day I want to play with that, so I box it up, and, you know, and sometimes not carefully. I probably have things in boxes I'll never find. I'll probably be amazed as I start to go through things box by box. At least that's what I say I'm going to do, but I keep getting older, and I keep not getting any of it done. I keep making more boxes.
I do that with a lot of other things, and I ask myself why, and I tell my wife, I'm like, you know, if I die, just call a couple of my buddies over, they know what I got, they know what they're looking at, have them sell it for you. But I say that, and then today's new radio day. I got another mobile coming for the antenna I put up. So I'm trying to be conservative with what I buy. I don't think I want any more HF rigs. I don't think I want any more antennas. Like, I think that's probably one of the last things I'm going to buy here for a long time. Until that new Kenwood comes out and I can get rid of this stupid 500.
Man, he took my parking spot again. I don't know what's up with these guys. All right, I just pulled up at work. I'm going to let you go. You've got to be pretty close as well. But I'm going to get in here and figure out how to finish up the week. After yours, W8FU.
Yes, sir. I've been sitting in my truck for about 10 minutes just procrastinating today. So maybe I'll catch you on my way out of here. If not, this weekend when I'm being the annoying guy asking for a radio check. So I'll catch you later at 8DBF.
Well, when you ask for a radio check because you actually did something and you want to see if it worked, there's nothing wrong with that. All right, later. W8FU.
Valid point, NADBF.
KPP testing.
KF8DRC from KF8DSF. KF8DRC from KF8DSF. No copy DS for KF8DSF to clear.
Oh, just picked up the aerial antenna from Dakota. So we can go play around with the satellite now.
Okay. Do you want to go to the breakfast club in the morning?
Very good. Yeah, I told you I got a
I bought an XLT-1500 for the VHF side of things, and it's an old beater radio, but it's a nice frickin' radio, man. It's amazing.
I got that XTR-4500 VHF if you want to play around with it. I got it for nothing.
If you want to play with it, I can throw some frequencies in it for you. So, the 200, you know, we use for our that side of the fence. And then, of course, the other reason I purchased this radio is there's a pretty significant P25 radio in the Detroit market. And I've been playing with that a little bit, too. There's a fair amount of guys on the west side of the state that'll talk to you on it. And Sean, once in a while, because his work radio also has that channel in it. So I chat with him once in a while. I'm doing a great well on that, too.
Okay.
Somebody somewhere said prove it.
I didn't get that last part. I'm sorry. Say that again.
Somebody was listening on my VHF stuff. So he said, prove it. So I had to prove it. But yeah, if you want, bring it to me and I'll throw the all the local stuff in it for you for VHF. I mean, that's where we go when there's stuff and things like that. And the team is working on updating the 200 repeater. There's going to be a satellite receiver over there in Richmond, which would be good for you. There's going to be a satellite receiver in Warren, and then the big machine is going to get tuned up and aligned and everything else back in Mount Clemens. So it'd be worth having that repeater or that radio. But I think you've got your good old Olinko that'll work just fine for that too.
That would be great. Because if I stand outside and I face a certain direction and put my hand in the air and wear a tinfoil hat, I can hear Mount Clemens on my HD. That's about it. That's like a rare occurrence. JP, thank you, Freddy.
We'll get back to
tell you the powers.
Oh man, we're doubling.
So.
I'll just wait.
It will be great for you for that. It will be great for storm spotting. And,
oh, that's what I was going to say.
Other harvesting. So it is a project.
So that will be a plus on my side. It'll be a lot easier.
You know what I need? I need somebody to wire up some connectors for me because my fingers are not as dexterous. So who wants to help? Who wants to lend a hand? Who wants to come get roll up their sleeves and get involved?
I can do it after work if you'd like. I'm a great person and a potter student.
Yeah, you have solder skills? I don't know, do you think you could slum it with a $3,000 pace station?
The wires reattached to a board, or are we doing an inline spike?
No, just two connectors, a DB9 on one end and a funky Motorola-specific connector on the other end. Just got to get, half a dozen wires between the two. Child's play. It's just... I've got arthritis in my fingers and my eyesight sucks, and I hate doing it with a passion.
Yeah, I think you jump back to work. I don't need it.
We have our guy.
Yeah, well, I let me see if it doesn't get done otherwise, but... I keep walking by it, looking at it, and going, I just don't feel like doing this right now. Honestly, this thing could be on the air today if I wasn't too lazy to do that. I just look at it and I just shake my head and go, I got work to do, and I walk away.
Got a Sterling Heights over here at 14 in Bay. I got a library in my Bloomfield, and then I got to hit up a place over by over on Rochester. And that pretty much is my day.
KJO from FU.
I sent him a text.
W-8-F-U, KJO, sorry.
No need to be sorry. I'm talking to Paul here. He said, how about tomorrow? He goes, you meet up with him here and... that might be easier in after hours.
Yeah, either way. Like I said, I started early today, so I'll get off early. My last run is in Romulus, and hopefully it shouldn't take that long. But yeah, I mean, if it's easier for him tomorrow, that's fine.
Okay, well, keep me posted on your day, and if it's early enough and you can get by here, we'll look at that. But yeah, keep tomorrow on the plate because Paul says he'd be happy to meet you here, and then, early as 9 o'clock, so not tear up the day or anything like that. I don't know. I guess it's an option.
Yeah, when I get to a little bit later in the day, I'll give you a hit on FBI or on Facebook. I got Paul's number too, so I can text him also.
Okay, W-8-F-U.
K-K-K-K-O.
KF8BDA, Mabo.
KPP from FU.
There is no Wally, only Zool.
KCKGO. How do I sound on Bloomfield? KCKGO.
Well, you sound fine. Are you on the West Bloomfield machine?
Yes, sir. I'm on Walnut Lake Road in Farmington.
Well, you are sounding hunky dory.
I figured I was in the general vicinity of it, so to speak.
Uh-huh. It's got better ears than Footprint, I think. I'm not sure if he got it fixed. Maybe he did. I don't know. But, anywho, it's got good ears, that's for sure. And the antenna's up there and fixed, so. Not sure if he got the transmitter fixed before he left. I think he's back. Maybe, maybe not, I'm not sure. We'll know tomorrow at breakfast.
Well, it sure looked pretty up there, I can tell you that much.
And that's important. Anyhow, I am just running between my lunch pickup and the shop, so. Oh, great, what's this? Big flatbed. Can I get by this guy? A little bobcat. The problem with him doing this construction here is you never know what you're going to find. All right, I am back to the shop, so after yours, I will be clear to go in and eat my pad thai.
Yeah, Paul got a hold of me, and we're set up for 9 o'clock for tomorrow.
Okay, I like that plan the best. If we see you there, it'll be after I go to breakfast with the boys and all that good stuff, and then maybe I'll wander up to say hi. By that time, you guys will probably be in the sauna drinking drinks with umbrellas. W8FU.
Enjoy your pad thai. 73KZKGO.
What's up, Mr. Tom? N8KPP.
Oh, just trying to figure out some readers. Did my inspection this morning. Now that's done. That took a whole 20 minutes. It's a skiff, so it wasn't that hard. And then, was out here in West Bloomfield. And it seems like they're experiencing the same kind of situation on a proximity reader that I have at another site, so. I adjusted the timing on it. Let's see what that does.
Oh, very good. I hope it works out. I got two hockey puck mics here, and I just put a label on one of them that says UHF.
I have a puck, hockey puck too, and it says number 25, DMAC.
Oh, very good. All right. I'm glad that works out. So, I played hockey for a little while. I was god-awful at it, but I did play.
Yeah, my boy and I met him at a at Strucker's over there in Richmond. He's doing a comedy thing and talking about his the old days, the old times. So, got a couple pictures, got an autograph for, you know, autograph photo for my future son-in-law, and then I picked a hockey puck.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, my son was pretty good at hockey growing up. He played with Ian Cole. He played with Patrick Kane. He played with all those guys. They traveled him all over the place. So he knows all those guys.
Fun sport. I like watching it. Don't like playing it. I like my teeth where they are, in my mouth.
I wore a cage. I didn't like it hit in the face. And it really wasn't, at my age, I did it when I was in my 40s, but even then, there were just too many accidents. I mean, usually when you're in that age, there isn't anything that's physical. Once in a great while, but it's usually minimal. But the accident type stuff, and so I always wore a cage. I didn't like glass shield because it would fog up and it'd get too hot, but I always wore a cage.
And my dad played on a league for Crosby Company, Kmart. He was a goalie, so he swallowed a couple. When it came his way, had a couple dents on the brain, but he was fine. But yeah, he got beat up a lot being in that net.
Yeah, that wasn't something I was gonna do. So, hey, if you want, depending on what happens tomorrow, let me know if you want me to go with you and what have you. Watch you solder. I think it's soldering. So. We get those cables all up and running, it'd be kind of nice. So that will help deploy. So you'll be officially a part of the deployment team.
Yeah, if you want to meet up there at 9, that's when I'm going to be there. I just got off the phone with KCPDK and said we can hook up tomorrow around 9 o'clock at the office there. And he'll have everything set up for me. So, yeah, if you want to meet me up there, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a catch-22. You got too many cooks in the kitchen, nothing gets done. So, so we'll play it by ear. We'll see how it goes. I don't want to do anything that's going to slow anything down.
Well, I think one of the precursors is verifying pin connections and what color wire goes to what pin kind of thing. I mean, I know on a DB9 it's 2, 3, and 5, so I already got that down to science. It's the other side that we got to make sure is correct.
I have, yes, you're right. The connector that goes to the MTR-2000, the way the connector is marked does not match the way the back of the radio or the manual is. And of course, the way the radio is marked and the manual states is what's important. So just be cognizant of that.
Well, that's why you need to, verify twice, solder once.
I'm going to step out. I do have to get down to this workplace, so I'll be in the car in a little bit. I'll catch you later. You guys can chat because I have no clue what either one of you guys are talking about other than I know DB9 has 9 pins. Later, Gators. NAKPP over to WPU between your Typhoon fights.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll check and recheck before we do anything solid. And fun with that. KCK Joe for ID, of course.
saying it so that Eric can't hear me on his phone. AFAS. How you doing, Dave?
What's going on? Driving home from that warehouse that I don't like to say the name of.
Yeah, how big was the bill? Oh, well, never mind. It's probably painful.
No, I mean, our grocery bill is the painful one. Whenever I go to the warehouse stuff, it's like stuff we've run out of that we buy in bulk. So that wasn't too bad. I think I only have $40. But they have good muffins there. What I don't like is their snack bar is not as good as Costco. And their drink machine was broken, so they don't have that going for them. But on a positive, there was like hardly anybody. Oh, I mean, there were people in there, but I like that you can pay on your phone. Like, you don't have to go to the register at all. You just scan your items on your phone.
Which one is that? Is that Costco or... Because I do that at BJ's.
Yeah, BJ's over in Chesterfield. It's like, it's so out of the way that I don't think anybody goes there.
Yeah, I use that scan and pay all the time. And I find that they've got... like, I buy my water there because we like that... bottled water, that is. You get that Nestle Pure Life or whatever. They got the big 40-pack, so I buy that there. There's almost always a coupon for money off on a 40-pack, and so the price works out pretty good. A couple other odds and ends I buy there, but I just find that it's either just not quite right or the wrong quantity, or there's some things that are bundled, and it's like I want this half but not that half, so... Just, I don't find that I spend as much there as I would. If I didn't get the membership for free, I probably wouldn't be a member. But I do the gas all the time.
Oh, do you get a discount for being a state worker or something?
No, they just, they give you this special $20 membership and plus they give you like, $20 off in your first visit where you spend more than $50. So, you sign up for $20 and then you go get $20 off in your very first trip. So, in essence, nothing to be a member there. Then, I use it for gas. And I got all three of them are just equal distance to me and they're all real close. I got Costco, Sam's, and BJ's. I found that BJ's lines for gas are probably a little better than the other two. So it works out. As long as the membership costs me little or nothing, I'll just keep it and use that for gas.
Yeah, I got a similar deal, but it wasn't 20, it was 40. But it was for their top-tier membership, the one that gives you the most back or whatever, so.
Yeah, mine is pretty much just the most basic membership. I actually thought about getting the credit card because, man, that really knocks the price of gas down.
Yeah, it's basically where do you spend the most money. That's how you're going to get the best discount for the credit card or whatever. And for me, it's always Amazon, so I make out with that. Even though they increased the membership fee, it's still worth it to me. And, yeah, the other thing with the DJs, they have delivery, too. They use DoorDash as their third party, but... I did that earlier this week because I was like, I don't have time to go there, but we needed some more stuff, and I didn't feel like working during lunch here, so I made a trip because I wanted to see what it looked like inside. So it's really well organized. I'm still on the fence with whether Costco or this one is better. The Costco is just, it's just too many people. It's always crowded. That's my only beef with them. And I gotta travel on Hall Road. You know, and it ends up being just as long to drive there than it would be to drive to the other one.
Yeah, that's, I'm not a fan of Sam's. I had that for a while. I like Costco the best of all of them. But like you said, it's always absolutely packed. And the gas lines are just 20, 30 deep every single time. It's just a nightmare. So, and they're more expensive. Of the three, they're the most expensive. Now, they have incentives, too, but, you know, we just don't use these, you know, type of places enough, being empty nesters, just the two of us. We don't really utilize enough, so that's why I do it mostly for the gas. You know, that's about the extent of it. And I may get their card when all is said and done, just to get the extra money off on gas. I think it's another 15 cents a gallon off. It's already as cheap as Costco and Sam's. You know, and then you get their credit card and use it for gas, you get another 15 cents a gallon off. Plus, I think there's other incentives, so I may just do it, just keep it just for that. You know, hell, it's a mile from my house, so of the three, it's the closest one. So there you have it. And last couple of times I caught it, I was, you know, just one car back of the pump, you know, and I wasn't next up, but I was the second to next up. So that's not horrible. I can deal with that.
WIDM.
All right, I'm going to clear out of here because I got frozen goods. But go ahead, RPAD, and we'll talk to you all later. I'll be listening, though. KFA does.
Toodles. Sean, when was the last time you were at the local Costco?
Well, let's see here. I went in there, it's probably been 6 months to a year. I forget who I went in there with. Somebody had a membership, and we went in there to buy bourbon. Oh, it was Dave. It was Donut Dave, and I went in there. So probably a year ago. I know the gas station's been revamped since I've been there.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to mention, is they've doubled the number of pumps there, and there's pretty much every time I've been there since, there's pretty much no line. So that was it. I'll let you get back to it. I got some other stuff I got to do. W item.
That's good. How about inside the store? Is it still a madhouse?
Well, my trick is I go on the weekdays first thing in the morning, and I wait until a minute or two after the doors are open so I'm not standing in line outside, and it works out real good for me. I'm usually in and out. I mean, we buy all kinds of stuff there. I mean, we buy tissue paper, toilet paper, paper towel. I buy chili there. We buy all kinds of frozen fish for making dinner, shrimp. I buy my scotch there, sometimes pick up some fruit, lettuce, because we make a lot of salads too. So, yeah, we use the snot out of our membership, even though we're just a couple.
Yeah, we don't eat really well in our place. I like variety. Andrea likes cheeseburgers. You know, it's like I can't get her to eat anything that, you know, that a toddler wouldn't eat. And so it's we just don't sync up when it comes to eating. And so, you know, it's kind of hard for us to shop, you know, for dinner plans because, you know, we just have completely opposite tastes. And there's some things, you know, but definitely I'll tell you what, I like Costco significantly better than the others, by far. I would pay the extra, not a problem. So I'll have to go check it out because it's, you know, it's not much farther. It's, you know, one extra mile maybe, you know, than BJ's. But, you know, for right now, BJ's is practically free. I'll probably keep that one just because it doesn't cost me anything. You give me whatever it is, and then you get it off in the first trip. And, you know, the gas with their card is really cheap and easy. So two is better than one. All right, thanks for the info. I will look into it. W8FU.
Fair enough. You get there if you get there. All right, later. W8FU.
NHKBP. KF8AYO.
Door, got in my car, and so I just turned it on. No idea what's going on yet.
Yeah, you were just a couple minutes too late. I turned it on a few minutes before. It was 3-1, now it's 4-1. They just hit a homer and then a double.
Who's up four?
Tigers 4, Sox 1, couldn't even tell you what inning it is, I just got in the car too.
Tigers have the lead, 5-1.
Well, there we go. Anyhow, W8FU, the weekend. I've got 1. Yes, it is. There's a guy next to me in some sort of rusted out old Honda SUV, little thing, and he's got a set of dykes hanging from his mirror.
Come again, you said a set of what hanging from his mirror? N1KRD.
Sarah, a pair of dykes.
Okay, classic, the classic dice, big, big squishy dice.
I don't like calling them wire cutters. What else would you call them? So, I don't know. Anyhow, snippers, I don't know what kind of language people use to describe dikes these days.
NHRS, I'm thoroughly confused now. Are we talking dice, as in you roll them, or wire cutters?
Well, I'm talking about wire cutters. They're, in their simplest form, dikes. I don't know what else they call them. Wire cutters seem so involved.
Yeah, Roger. That makes sense in that context, although I'm not sure why they'd be hanging from a mirror. I guess maybe it's a play on words.
Yeah, it looks like kind of a precision pair for, you know, fine electronics work. And they were hanging from his rearview mirror. Like, what the hell is up with that? Oh, well.
Side cutters. Isn't Bikes just a brand?
whole lot of audio there. And I think you said something about, isn't that the brand or something?
I call them side cutters. I think Bikes is just a brand. KF80 Wild.
Well, I'll look that up, but I don't think so. I thought Dykes was the product. But I don't know. Could be. Just what I've always called them.
Well, my guess is he got out of work, had them in his pocket, had nowhere else to put them, and wanted to remember to take them back to work. So I've definitely done similar stuff to that. NH era, so.
Well, there is a brand called Bike. I'll be damned. I did not know there was a brand called that. Does the brand name predate the common use? I don't know. I didn't even know there was a brand named Bike. Okay, here we go. Dyad, Dyke, or Dyke is jargon used especially in the U.S. electrical industry to describe diagonal pliers. Dyke, quote-unquote, can also be used, but only colloquially, as a verb, as in the frame, when in doubt, and then I can't read the rest. Oh, when in doubt, dyke it out. So remember, when in doubt, dyke it out. That involves scissors. Which brings up another interesting observation. Why are gay men always so happy and gay women always so angry? Do the math, women. Man, the tough crowd.
Is that a rhetorical question?
It could be construed as such, yes.
I've just learned I have to stay quiet on every issue. I have to say no opinion, no comment.
Will Eric come out of hiding and get mad at you?
Depends. Is my volume like really quiet? I really honestly think things sound differently over the repeater and on a proper radio versus a phone and its speaker. It's just, there's audio bandwidth considerations.
Well, that always can be the case. One should probably check to make sure, but most everybody sounds okay. If somebody sounds particularly quiet, I generally say something. You know, if nothing else, just to uncover what their modus operandi is. And, you know, if they're coming in on echoing, I just kind of dismiss and go, well, okay, fine. That explains that. Don't take it any further. But if they're coming in on All-Star or through one of the repeaters, they should sound pretty good, give or take. Yeah, if you're coming in on the UMP, you can sound really overdriven and nasty, so you got to watch that one. But aside from that one, they're all pretty balanced.
Hey, Theta. Yeah, speaking of which, what is the story with UMP? Is there any way for it to get fixed? Like, the audio coming out is pretty loud. I mean, compared to Warren. You know, Warren sounds great, but you can't listen to UMP. And that one, UMP is closer to me, so I would prefer to be able to listen and talk on UMP, but I can't listen to it. So what I end up doing is that's why I always go on the node.
Yeah, we're doing some work on the 7.2 tomorrow morning. I should say Tom is going to work with Paul, try to get some stuff done that I need done. And that should make that repeater
days away from deployment if everything goes well. And when we're deploying the main repeater, I intend on looking at it, along with the crackling on the 675 and a few other odds and ends. There's a lot of stuff you have to be dumped there. And I just don't have enough of, you know, what's to give. So I'm trying to get a recharge. I'm going to recharge up, try to gather up a couple of Fs that I have, you know, stored away, and then I'll have them to give on the project.
So it's not like the All-Star connection that you got a simple tune it. It's actually something more, like something audio coming out of the repeater, that type of thing.
Well, I'm not going to guarantee it's one or the other. I think what I'd first of all, there's an RF issue with it. I cannot get anywhere near as far from that thing as I used to be able to. I'll get down to about 14-15 mile road, start heading west, and by the time I hit, you know, Garfield or Hayes or Shaner, you know, it's everybody's complaining and barely understand me. It's all broken up. I'm running a mobile 35 watts and outside antenna. It's almost unworkable from where I'm at, so it's definitely got issues. So it's got RF issues, and I'm just going to go through the whole damn thing. So that's just the best thing to do. Don't assume anything, start from scratch, but yes, there could definitely be simple tuning alignments in order.
Yeah, I'm in that weird spot where Richmond is still too far, Warren's too far, but the UMP is close, you know, but, you know, then again, I'm using an HT walking around the house, so in regards to that, I would have to almost use a node anyways, just because I'm, you know, I can't guarantee that I'm going to be able to Statue of Liberty, or I'll be in my office and stuff like that.
So can you hear Warren okay from where you're at? Because if you can hear it okay, I have plans to give it some ears out your way.
Yeah, it's a little snowy, but it's tolerable, you know. But if it has a good, like, receive, then yeah, we'd be able to, like, use, you know, have a local receiver and then listen to it. It'd probably be fine. Especially if I'm on the second floor. I mean, it's perfect on the second floor. It's just when I'm on the lower floor, it's a little snowy.
Well, depending on how well this RTCM project goes with the 7.2, I'm probably going to invest in 3 or 4 of those RTCMs for the 2.6, do up some receivers, put one in the clam, and then one out toward Steve and Don and those guys, and then try to get another one down in Detroit, in addition to, you know, the one locally. And that should give it a really, really nice talk-in. And also, I'm debating whether to do this or not. If Ho's listening, he'll probably break his radio silence and go, "Don't do that!" But I'm thinking about breaking up the receiver and the transmitter at the main site so that I can really put some fire on the wire. So that should even help with that.
Yeah, is that to help with, like, the duplexer situation, since you got to turn the power up? You don't get as much interference on the receive. Is that the idea there?
Yeah, duplexers are lossy, right? So you can protect the transmitter with something like a triple circulator, you know, and get all the protection you need there. That means you can put virtually all of your snot out on the wire, those duplexer losses, and then the receivers as well, no duplexer losses there either. So I was thinking about having the main receiver back at the original site, and then 3 additional sites, and then having the transmitter all by its lonesome.
Yeah, that could work. I mean, if there's a way to, like, you could turn them off from remote and try them out and things like that, that would be the first thing to do. You probably just do one receiver at first, and then when you get that perfected, you do the other one.
Yep, that's the way to go. As a matter of fact, we're working on that right now with the 7.2. The repeater's on the bench right now, and the first off, Tom's going to build some cables for me tomorrow. He's going to go in there at 9, meet up with Paul, because I don't want to build the cables. Every time I look at them, I get disgusted, and I said, I don't want to do this. And so I've got them all mapped out, pin for pin, and... Okay, did you want to get over? No, you didn't. Why were you getting all angry? Okay. Anyhow, I got them all pinned out, pin for pin, all the instructions, all that needs to happen is somebody needs to solder a DB9 to a funky Motorola connector exactly as I have it written down, and the rest should all fall into place. And we'll see how that works. But there is a bit involved. It's deployment. Everything's ready. Antennas are there. Network is there, so really the only thing we got to do is sneak the GPS antennas out so they can get a poke in the sky, because it's very important to have the GPS units on the receivers when you're doing the all-star voting.
So do I understand this correctly? You're actually going to make 147.2 an all-star linked system for countywide things?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be for use under normal circumstances. All-star satellite receivers in Richmond and Warren, you know, and then the main unit, the main repeater in Mount Clemens. So that should give it really nice coverage and all-star. And, you know, and it's for use, except when they need it. When they need it, of course, it's theirs. It takes precedence. And they use it for their stuff. But outside of that, it's for use.
Yep, and that frequency, that use, or the, you know, Macomb, the thing's been that way since as long as I remember. When I first became a ham, it was Macomb's frequency.
Yeah, it was called the MECA, I think. Macomb Emergency Communications Association, MECA. Now it's just Macomb ARPSC. So, you know, all the Skywarn activity will be on that. And, you know, and then if we have any other active stations, you know, with ARPSC, that would be their primary use. I would offer this one up. We talked about offering this one up as a secondary use, but the problem is we're linked to CMN, and CMN runs MyCon. We can't really have things going on if MyCon's going on here. And unless somebody's going to babysit it for every time MyCon goes live to disconnect, we can't be using this one for, you know, other things. So, because MyCon's running on it. So there you have it.
Yeah, makes sense, and you know what? It's probably good that it's a separate breaking up here. It's probably good that it's a secondary entity, because then it gives you two systems to be able to monitor instead of having one, you know, one's active. Not that there's much activity around here, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I hope once all this stuff is in that there'll be a trusted group of control operators that can go in and connect things, disconnect things, turn things on, turn things off, you know. And, you know, and then when you got a situation like that, you could offer, you know, the 2.6 or the 2.25 or, you know, you could pull them off the network and use them standalone for, let's say, an event in the northern part of the county. Or, you know, pushing over into St. Clair County and, you know, just put in a request. One of the control officers would say, sure, break it loose, you know, break loose in CMN or something like that. You know, there's any number of things you can do, but you got to have that group of people, you know, that can do that. If you're counting on one person, i.e. me, you know, maybe I'm available, maybe I'm not available. You know, can I do it in a timely fashion? It becomes a question, right? So that would be the next step, is to try to get some control operators identified, and, you know, get them the keys to the kingdom, and, you know, that way you could do things, connect and disconnect things as needed.
Yep. Well, I mean, I imagine it's going to be used for more exercise type of stuff. But, yeah, if things are quiet, somebody needs a place to talk, they can go there. So that's cool. That'll be nice to see that up and running. That one's close to me. That one I know I'll be able to get into with an HT if I had to.
I got another site out your way that I'm real tempted to put something up on. And believe it or not, I was even thinking about throwing up a GMRS repeater on it just because it's easy. And you know, I can just do it, right? And, Chris, I could probably use remember the temporary Richmond Freak? I could probably do that if I wanted to keep it on the ham bands. But I got a site I really, really want to test for, like, you and Greg and the guys up that way. That whole area just seems really underserved by RF, and trying to figure out how to poke into it a little bit better. I thought Romeo would do better, and I still think it can. I really do, but the fact of the matter is it's not. So here we are.
Are you talking about that Waterworks place, or, you know, the one on Card? Are you talking, like, Ray Township?
No, right downtown New Haven.
Okay, yeah. Over by Bill.
Yep. Now, Wally tells me his machine really, really pokes really, really well into New Baltimore. And I don't know how his stuff works your way. But, I mean, what the hell? I've got the tower. I own it. Got equipment on it. There's an antenna on everything. There's a 460 antenna on it. So that's the beauty of it. I can easily put a GMRS repeater. What is up with this jack wagon? I'm on a 45 mile an hour road here, and he's doing 20. Good God. Anyhow, so that would be why it would be easy to just toss something up there real quick at GMRS, and that would let us know. And if we were pressed, we'd say, wow, then I could bring out the boots and we could get some real antennas put up there and get something up there for amateur.
Let's see here, the thing's working out. Okay. The last thing is, like, I was watching a video from the Yaesu guy was on there, and how they were talking about the 1F, and they were talking about the new 500, and they were saying, oh, we still have our repeater program. It's like, you know, who cares group should just get a fusion repeater just to get one and put it on analog.
You know, I was reading the rules for that. It's like, you got to get it, you know, you got to have a club, you get it with a club. I think it was, like, last I checked, it was like 500 or something, which is a good price for a full-blown repeater. But that doesn't include the network connectivity, which I don't know if that's included or if I'm looking at something old. Whatever, that's neither here nor there. But there was this two-year, like, thing. You had to have it, I think you had to have it running fusion for 2 years or something. I don't even know. But there was some sort of there were some requirements, and I thought two-year was the magic number.
Okay, I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I think all it is just like one of those Redivis, you know how you can get those Redivis repeaters for farmers? the one that Captain Don got. All I think it is like a 400, you know, like the brains of it is just a 400, and it's like 10 watts, and it's basically got two VFOs, and it's like 10 watts. You gotta supply your amplifier and all that other stuff. So it just, all it is like a the brains of it, and then like a small RF presence. It ends up being kind of like a little micro repeater.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's I think it is a 400 in a box. It might, maybe they've changed, but I don't think they have. You know, it would probably be a new model. Okay, this is really weird. Where the hell are my trash cans? This is very weird. My trash cans are, they better be behind my house. Maybe my son stopped by. Hold on. 7-1 Tigers. Wow, man, we're just tearing it up. Anyhow, I'm home, but we can talk more. I'll jump over on the node. But you're absolutely right. The Yaesu is a mobile in a box with a little bit more involved, you know, interface and a duplexer generally. And the reason it's 10 watts is because it's got that same stupid chip that blows up in all those Yaesu radios. So they turn it down. It's a 50-watt chip. They turn it down to 10 and hope that it can handle continuous duty of a repeater. You know, you don't dare, you know, it's got the same 50-watt chip in it, but you wouldn't dare running it at that. The thing would last a week, and they'd burn up with repeater usage. Anyhow, I'm in the driveway. After yours, I'll listen out. W8FU.
After this one. Talk to you later. KS8S.
Okay, must have been my son. I just forgot I could switch over to the handheld. It's amazing technology. Must have been my son. He must have plucked him up and taken him to the backyard for me. I remember those days when he used to do that.
Two and four, now they're three and
place tomorrow at 9 to meet up with Paul and do some TV
one thing I'm really glad I taught myself how to do. I never realized how much you can actually fix if you know how to solder.
Absolutely. When I first started in this job, that's all I was doing, soldering tape, soldering tape. Now I'm down to squishies and little gray wire nuts. All depends on the application. But this stuff here calls for needlepoint soldering. So I'm up for the challenge.
What is your opinion on the fumes and the solder smoke on lead-free live rosin, or not live rosin, I'm thinking weed, rosin, whatever the hell it is, solder, it's rosin core.
Well, if I had a choice, I prefer to do, silver solder, or silver tin combination, using a rosin, a thing of rosin. But if push comes to shove, then I'll do the tin with the rosin core. Just makes it look more messy. All depends, what the application is. But my new stuff like this, I like to use silver solder or tin solder with separate rosin.
Last summer when I was building a bunch of drones, I bought a 1-pound spool of Kester 6337. But I don't think it's live rosin. I think it's, why do I keep saying that? I don't think it's lead-free, but it is rosin core.
But then you get a bunch of that residue on it, when you're trying to put it all together. That's why, like I said, if you use, 60-40. As the silver solder is better, it's more expensive, but better connection, and then if you just dip a little bit into the rosin separately, and then you don't have much of that goo all over the connection.
I did notice that when I was terminating my LMR 400 at my house, that the center conductor that I was just putting the solder cap on, you got to heat that thing up. It's a pretty damn big wire. I don't know what gauge it is exactly, but by the time I got it hot enough and that solder melted and it all fused together nicely, there was quite a bit of, like you said, that goo, which I'm assuming is the rosin coming out.
Yeah, so when you're done with your work, maybe you just look at it and it just looks nasty. I'll use rosin core for wiring, 2010, 24, hell, even as small as 26 gauge. I don't use it much, but besides that, I prefer, for boards, I use the solder resistors for charging circuits back on some of my older access boards. When it got overheated, the resistor was fine, but the joint was, because it overheated, it melted the solder joint. So I'd use rosin core, but sometimes if I didn't have that, I had a thing of rosin and silver tin. It worked a lot better.
That ain't DDF. Yeah, I really didn't know, or I didn't go down the rabbit hole, I guess I should say, of the different solders when I first started teaching myself to solder. And I can think of plenty of Raspberry Pis that have whatever the hell I had laying around soldered on them, and a bunch of the drones I built last year until I finally caved and bought the Kester 6337 or whatever it was. But you can just take a Q-tip and some alcohol and clean that stuff up, can't you?
Yeah, you can carefully. But it still, it just makes the board look nasty. So having the separate rosin, then you can regulate how much you got there. You just a little bit, clean it, and boom, you got a clean joint, clean solder joint.
Yeah, if it's just for an aesthetic thing, I'm not super worried. My those drones that I built, they get crashed pretty much every time you fly them. It's rare that you don't crash them if you're flying them hard enough. So they don't last forever is what I'm getting at, so I'm not worried about it. And then all my pies that I've put together, those are all in an enclosure, and then the terminations I've done, those are also just plugged in, so I'll have to look at that silver solder stuff. I think I did look at it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not paying that, but for terminations on coax, it actually probably would be the way to go.
Yeah, because it's better heat dissipation compared to the 6337. That's why I like it. I don't do a lot of coax terminations, but just for a clean, basic connection, silver is the way to go. I haven't used any to do GPUs for with Xbox 360s where it overheated. I clean that all up with 90% alcohol and then put a bead of silver paste down. And never had a problem with them since.
You know, the funny thing, when I first started really doing this, I bought one of those Hakko, like, 888 stations, whatever they are, that are supposed to be super nice and, you know, pretty easy to use. It's the biggest pile of crap I've ever had. Like, I even bought one of those thermocoupler thermometers so I could try to, like, calibrate the temp, and, like, it's just never right. I bought new tips. But when I first started using it, like, I couldn't get solder to melt, so all my joints are probably realistically going to break this year, and I need to redo them all. And then I bought what's it's called a pine sill. They're like $30 on Amazon, and they plug into, I can plug them into a LiPo battery pack with a DC pin, or I can plug them into a USB-C with a 25-watt or greater power supply and get up to 800 degrees Fahrenheit. And I bought one of those things. I use that for everything. And I used to think it was me that didn't know how to solder, but really it was my iron that never got hot enough.
In it before you used it, right?
Dude, I tried everything. I tried pinning it with solder. I tried pinning it with the pinning paste. Like, I could not get it to work. I got a flux pen for the PCBs that I'm soldering leads to. And it just, I'd have to just sit there, and it would heat my boards up like no other. And I finally said, I'm going to try. I needed a portable soldering iron for work. And I bought that Pinesville thing, and I never looked back.
I have a Walter, I think it's a Walter butane that I use. But I'm soldering reader wires and motion detectors and stuff like that. I haven't done a lot of soldering lately. Or I'll do it on my transfer hinges. That's where I use my soldering the most. On transfer hinges, that's 26 gauge. I mean, that wire is thin. And wrap that up with my 18 gauge coming off for power. But man, if you're not careful, you'll break, they'll snap that wire. That's why I like to solder it.
Yeah, I was going to say 26 gauge, that's like, a little bit thicker than hair when you're talking about, what's that called, tensile strength.
Oh yeah, it is. Thin and it's braided, and luckily I've been doing it for so long that I can use a pair of side cutters and just get the insulation off just enough so I can peel it back, cut it off, twist the wire in there real carefully, and then I just solder it and do a nice tape job with what is that, 3M33, I think. I got really good tape. It's like $6-$7 a roll.
Talk closer to your mic.
And then I overmount.
Now you're like really quiet and way back here. I can't hear you.
Yeah, it all depends on where I hold it. Usually I hold it about 4 or 5 inches on the side. That way you don't get that puff of air when you're talking.
I always think I'm yelling into the mic because it's got road noise, and I feel like I have to talk over the road noise.
Yeah, Dakota, your voice is fine. It's probably a volume 8. And then KJO is like volume 3.
What's funny, I'm on the Warren repeater. I can jump over to Mount Clemens. I'll probably be higher audio. Hold on.
is in Mount Clemens right now.
Would you say I got a voice for radio?
I spanked on somebody.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, wherever you were before was just, like, quiet.
Yeah, Mount Clemens pushes it on a little bit hotter. You sound a little bit hot yourself. But if I go back to Warren, then, yeah, I'm a little bit more quieter. So I can either adjust my audio or I can adjust the distance of my mic. All depends.
Do those Olinkos have any sort of equalizer for your transmit audio?
No, I do have mic gain on it, though, and right now I got it set at zero. If I drop it down, then you won't hear me. If I bring it up, then I'm going to over-mod. As it all depends on which repeater I'm bouncing off of is how my audio is. I guess Mount Clemens, I come in pretty hot.
All right, I was just curious, because, yeah, you do. I mean, I can hear you fine, like, totally fine now. Like Dave said, you were a little low on the other repeater. But I think part of that, too, is you have, it seems like your transmit audio is more treble than any bass, like it's not full. So if there's any sort of, noise on the receive end, or if you're kind of on the fringe, it's harder to hear you because you kind of get lost in that. But I don't think my radio's got that either. I was just curious.
The Olinko radios and their mics are just
stuck. My voice audio itself, depending on where I'm at and what transmitter I'm on, is either high or low. Now that I know Mount Clemens, like I said, it runs hotter, and I guess that's the word you want to use for it, so my audio is a lot higher. But if I go back down to Warren, or I'm bouncing off of Richmond, I'm like right there.
Dave out there, by the way. Can you see it? Hey, Joe. Yeah, it's the Olinko mics. If I use it on my radio list node, I get the same kind of like high pitch, more treble defined. And I just think it's the wrong mic and radio for your voice.
Oh, you're so nice. At least you didn't say I have a radio face.
The microphones on those Olinkos are just, I don't know why, they're just like slanted towards the higher pitch, and it's like, it's hard to describe. But, like, the Yaesus are a little bit more balanced. Even some of these cheap Chinese ones are a little bit more balanced. But there's something with the Olinko microphones that just makes everybody, like, it gets rid of all their bass, and it just slants them towards all the treble.
Yes, it's not all about the bass.
It gives me, like, FT5D vibes, but not as nasally.
No, that's just my voice. It is nasally.
All right, Giants, I'm pulling in here. I got my new radio to go set up a program, so I'll be out here in a little bit. NADDF.
7-3-3-3-2.
KFA-10.
7-3-3-2. I'm heading over to North Point Boulevard to go take care of the system. And I'm done for the day. Until tomorrow, then I gotta go meet up with BDK and do some solder play.
W8EAP.
How's it going, Eric? Hold on, I gotta yell at somebody.
I'm sure Gary didn't deserve that. W-A-C-I-C. Oh, copy, check. I guess not. Jack. How's it going? You're not yelling at anybody, are you?
No, you know, I ain't gonna yell at nobody. Roger.
That's good. That's good. Just coming home from work, usual.
Sure, you're glad this is a Friday.
Yes, I am. I go home and relax, and maybe tomorrow I'll go do some stuff. Run some errands tomorrow. Tonight I think I'm just going to take it easy. Got a long week.
Yes, I would do that. I'm 100% I would do that. After 5 days work, all day, maybe 10 hours sometime, I will relax tomorrow.
What's up, KCKCO?
How you doing, man? Where are you at?
All road in Hayes, going up to North Point in Utica, take care of some comm issues. After Mr. NAFS, quote unquote, yelled at me over DMR.
Who yelled at you on DMR?
Dave.
Dave, he's yelling at everybody today. Keeps taking off, yelling people on the radio, yelling at people off the radio.
Considering that I've been on the radio, amateur-wise, for almost 30 years, but I've been broadcasting or I've been doing radio communications since I was 18, so that's what, almost 40 years?
Yep, yep. Well, if you want to count me talking on the CB radio, that makes 50 years. 50.
All right, then I'm in the same boat you are because I was talking on the CB since I was 8 years old. I had antenna and everything wired outside of my parents' house. And then did law enforcement for 3 years. Was doing their dispatch for a little while, being housing at the main radio center. I also do announcing for horse shows, do announcing at a meter fair. So yeah, my voice is everywhere.
Yeah, you told me about our meter fair. Why our meter fair? I mean, could have widened your horizons and went to the Michigan State Fair and the Ionia State Fair and the Mount Pleasant, St. State Fair.
All depends on who hires me. I do a lot, you know, I used to do speed shows for 4-H. I did Armada Fair, I did Montcalm County 4-H. Four shows, I did Eastern Michigan horsemanship speed shows. Not only that, but I also did crowd control for 2 years at the Rose Bowl Parade.
Well, I think I may have you beat in one aspect. That's cool. Saw Sling Shock one. Well, I was working at the radio station back in 92 or 93. I walked past the studios of WJR, the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, and one of the DJs called me in there, and he did a little mini interview with me. So I was, I got a little bit of mic fright. He's like, get up on that mic, son, talk louder. And I'm like, I kind of got scared.
The only thing that keeps me out of actual professional radio broadcasting is the pay.
Jack. You forgot Jack. He was a disc jockey on WPON Pontiac, right, Jack? That was you, right?
Yeah, I was. Till you know, they got rid of me.
At WPON, 1700 on your AM dial. I don't even know if that station's still around. But, yeah. Doesn't pay much, especially, well, to get into it, you got to start at a small radio station up north or something. And then if you're good, you might get a higher paying gig down here. But it's pretty impossible just to go from nothing into a Detroit market right off the bat.
Well, my grandfather was did radio in World War II, and then my uncle was a at that they called it a DJ, not a radio personality. My uncle was a DJ for 40 some odd years out of London, Ontario. And I got quite a few friends of mine that are DJs on my Facebook that I've met over the years. And I was at one time on Young Country 99.5 as a guest on more than one occasion. So I was on the radio there for a bit. He didn't pay for it. He was just there to hang out and have fun.
Oh, yeah. So he wasn't on CKLW, was he?
No, my uncle? No, he lived in Canada. He was on CX93, because I'm 2.7 FM in London, Ontario.
Well, so is CKLW.
And then my parents were friends with Dino Day from, where is he from? WBRB or something like that.
Yeah, I worked at WHNE or WHNV Honey Radio, which is AM station owned by 94.7. Owned by WRAF. So I've been in all the studios and 96.3, which is different. That was owned by ABC. And the good old radio days. Yeah, it was only from like 1990 to 1993. 3 years.
Yeah, like I said, it just doesn't pay much. So when I've arrived at my destination, I gotta take care of this customer before they have it tizzy. They can't arm it, and then I gotta come back to midnight. So I'll talk to you all in a bit. 73 on your final. KCKJO.
Very good. Okay. We'll talk to you later. Have a good night. Jack, I'll be out later. I just pulled in the driveway myself. I got a lot of stuff to do when I get in the house, but I'll be out there later. And it'll be fun. It'll be a fun radio night. WADAP.
Hi, Eric. Take care. Another gentleman, take care, too. You guys have a good day. KFA, DRC, clear.
K-A-P-P. Sonic Nogan.
Fire from Houston.
Did you say far from pooping?
Roger.
Not kidding.
I have a Volkswagen.
NABDF.
AAAUGQ mobile monitoring.
I was off frequency. And that was unintelligible. I think because it was a double, but I don't know. Oh, just a shitty signal.
I guess I should figure out how to change the power on this radio, but the good news is I can at least open room, or warn with it now.
That was you on warn?
Yeah, but I can't find the setting to up the power. I don't even know what I'm on right now. I think I'm assuming I'm on medium, but I don't know.
Is that a mobile or what? What do you got? What do you got? Is that the new radio?
Yeah, I ordered a 2730B for my desk. Figured just a run-of-the-mill analog dual bander.
Roger. Well, you are rock solid into whichever one you're into right now. Sounds very good. And if that was you on the Warren, you were just tickling it, but really not coming through enough to make it work.
I wasn't super confident I was going to be able to work Warren comfortably, but who knows, maybe once I figure out this power setting. I need to learn how to use this radio.
Right, yeah. No, I'm guessing you'd need at least 6 to 9 dB to probably get you in the ballpark. I can just kind of tell it's you in there, but it's bad. And, yeah, I'd say you'd probably need about double your power twice over, maybe three times.
Yeah, no sweat. I just figured I'd give it a go. But, I mean, if this is what it sounds like in the Romeo, I'm sure Richmond will be just as good, if not better. And I can work... I can hit Lapeer, okay, wherever that's got moved to, and I'll have to throw some Flint ones in here and mess around and see where I can get to.
Let's see if you can hit the Clem. Now, unfortunately, right now, I think the UMP is 6, so if you can't, that doesn't really tell you anything, but if you can, it's a testament to how good it's working.
What's the PO on that? Is it 151?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe it's 3.625 with a PO of 151. But I'm just pulling up at the house. It will take me a minute or two to get inside. So if you're going to try it, give me a minute. W8FQ.
Dakota, sounding good. KFA, DRC.
Hey, Jack, sorry about that. I was programming in the Mount Clemens computer. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yes. How you doing? I just want to say, how you doing? That's about it.
I'm doing good, man. It's good to hear you over here.
Hey, is that Mount Clemens?
It is Mount Clemens. I don't understand how that works.
All right, well, if that's the case, then, yeah, cool. You may be able to work 2.6 in the near future, anyhow, natively. All right, I got to jump. I just got in with some chow. W8FU.
W8FU and ETS code in. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, you sound a little bit far, but you're sounding okay.
Far with noise, or far as in, like, my mic's quiet?
Far with noise, a little bit. You know, like a... That's about it.
All right, I'll come back over to Romeo so it actually makes sense.
Well, now it's good. 100% good.
Well, good deal. Yeah, I cheated. I put my antenna in the attic, so it's not going to do what I think it should do. And now that I know I can open Warren and get into Mount Clemens, it's motivated me to get the thing outside so it does what it's supposed to.
The audio is very good. 100%.
So how is the ham world treating you, Jack?
Oh, I love it. I really do it. Not like over there, nothing but mumbo jungle.
So you haven't really been hanging out over there is what you're telling me.
No, not much really. I hang out more here and there on Warren Repeater.
Well, good, Jack. We're happy to have you over here.
I know it took me a little time, but what can I do, you know? I just gotta get in your head, and that's about it. And that's what I did.
Yep, you did it. It's all that matters. You're here. What are you using? You got a base station radio, or what do you got? You using that DB20?
You know what? I'm using the TYT390 right now. The DB20, I can get it in, and it doesn't stay. Eric got to reprogram it. And I have the TYT9600. It's not open yet. It only opens GMRS.
Well, regardless, you sound good. But, yeah, welcome to Ham Radio, man. You got access to some sweet radios now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that. That's better from there. There was a few people out there, you know, calling me all kinds of names, but I didn't care too much, but it was always there, these people on that GMI.
Jack.
I think that was Eric. Go ahead.
Hi, Jack. Hi, Dakota. Yeah, I got to meet up with him this weekend and finish up his radios. You know, some of them had just the output of the repeaters with no PL tones or offset. So those all got to be set up. So, anywho. That's it, just sitting at my desk right now talking on my 5,000-mile radio.
Well, I'm always talking on a 10-mile radio.
You guys carry on for a minute here. I'm going to finish programming the few frequencies I'm going to need in this thing. I'm so pissed I didn't order the cable.
Hi, Eric. I gotta get me something to eat. I gotta eat some fish today. Today's Friday, so I'll talk to you a little bit later. And Dakota, good to hear you out there and good talking to you. KFA, ERC.
Okay, Jack. Have a good one. I'm programming some new radios over here, too. Be out there later. W-8-E-A-P.
Turned down like a moron, what'd you say?
Which tower are you hitting?
Alright, I heard you that time. I'm going to Richmond now.
Yeah, nothing. If you're trying to hit it, keep it video.
I heard him rock solid in the Richmond.
You on Richmond now? Because I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I might have quick keyed that last one, my bad.
No, so Dakota said he was on Richmond, and I heard him rock solid. You said you couldn't hear him, Tom. But I heard him rock solid in the Richmond, so just FYI.
I'm going into Richmond.
Oh, okay, then I did hear you. And like Sean says, you're rock solid. That's nice.
Yeah, no complaints so far other than the fan noise is ridiculous. So I already ordered, I guess this is a common thing, but I ordered a Noctura for $14. It's supposed to be silent.
There's always room for more toys.
Tell you what, this makes way more sense than the 891 did on my desk that I never used. At least I know the people around here that I can talk to. Got a new truck and he hasn't put his rig back in there, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's like me, it's a work, work vehicle. He's a PM for the company. So, he had like a Malibu and he didn't want to put it in there. So he's got a Maverick now, he's just got to figure out where he's going to put the mag mount. And then he's trying to find where the battery's at. It's probably under the driver's seat. Or the Maverick, who knows, it might be half the vehicle.
Well, those are hybrids, aren't they? So it's definitely half the vehicle.
Yeah, it's a hybrid. So I don't know if it's an aluminum body or if it's going to be a steel body. So it's going to take a chance. Like that, I just do it like Dakota did it. He just drove it into the side of the truck bed and then mounted it.
So that's actually, I forgot, I think it's Breedlove mounts. They machine those specifically for steak pockets and they make them for pretty much all the trucks. So I knew I wanted it to be very sturdy and clean, and that was like the best one I found. Like I said, you saw it today. I gotta get it powder coated. I just spray painted it in the late fall, so I had something on it and the aluminum didn't corrode, but once I touch it up, I think it'll be nice. But it was, I'm looking at it right now. So it's BreedLoveMounts.com. They're $46, and they come with a SO239 barrel connector.
And he's like me right now. He just got a mag mount dual band that I got from Amazon. So that's what he's going to run right now. Hopefully his thing is that the truck is middle and it'll stay there. If not, he can probably screw a plate job or at least give it something that sticks to. All right, told him about the 2x4.
The only downside to the way I mounted mine was I had to cut out the back rail where the fake pocket is, which, I mean, it's not a big deal. But other than that, it's four screws. I can take it out in like 2 seconds, and then coax is inside of the bed, and then it just goes under the passenger rear seat into the interior, into the radio under the passenger seat. So he'll figure it out, but I did the mag mount thing for a while, but I don't know. I think a permanently mounted it kind of works better.
100% agree, because with a permanent mount antenna, the whole body is your ground plane, which makes it a lot better. But then this is a company vehicle, so I'm not allowed to drill any holes like that.
Oh, trust me, I get it.
I mean, they drilled holes to put the ladder rack up. My other band, you know, the E150, there, I mean, at least I could have put a gutter mount on it, but we'll see what I come up with.
Can you make a bracket that comes off of the ladder mount, or the ladder rack that's already screwed in? Like, instead of putting new holes, just attach to that some way or somehow?
Oh, yeah, I could do that. That's really good. I never thought of that. I mean, I got this stupid, Oh, no, wait, I don't have it on this one. I used to have one of those white cubes. I need it for one not to be on there. But, yeah, I got a crossover that I can mount a middle bracket to, and then I can do a permanent mount with an NMO. Well, that's a thought.
There you go. I'm willing to bet you could probably adapt some sort of CD mount, put an NMO on it, and just bolt it to that some way, somehow.
Now I have to look, because I think the ladder rack is a tubular frame and not the third frame. So if anything, yeah, I can do some type of clamp of an NMO, yeah. That'll work.
I cannot get over how loud this fan is on this thing, and I have it on low power.
Okay, Joey, that sounds great. Now you got my imagination going. Oh, yeah, just to let you know, too, since I started putting radios in my van, there's a couple other guys that they're not EMs, but they got CDs, they got scanners, one guy's got a GMRS in there, so I think I started a trend.
Well, I was just telling them to get their damn ham license.
Oh, I push that every chance I get. It's like, go to these websites. Start studying. It's not that hard. You get it, and I'll help you set up radios. I said, if you don't know what you want, I got quite a few people that either have used rigs that'll sell you one, or they'll tell you the best one to get.
Yeah, and I sell a radio, it seems like, every month, so there's always something floating around.
Yeah, I was at lunch today up in Farmington Hills, and I was talking to a guy who used to live in the Romeo area. And he was telling me, I remember this person on 31 and or 38 Powell, and every weekend there was like a bunch of cars there, and everybody was putting up equipment. I go, oh yeah, that's you, Steve.
Are they still around?
They are still around. All I know is there's Chuck Photography or something like that. I know that's where Walt's from, was Eseka. But they just shot up to the west side of the state and helped rebuild an antenna up there on the west side. Get him back on the air.
I can't for the life of me figure out how to show the channel name on this thing.
Then do what I do. Faffo.
N-A-P-P.
Did you find your fish dinner place at GCKQ?
I did. It was pretty good. I had to bake the fish. The kids had the deep-fried fish. So I thought I would be healthy. I went with the french fries. So that was the unhealthy part. And now I'm taking the grandkids to get ice cream, because that's what Grandpa does. Fuels them full of sugar and gives them back.
Well, if you're in Marine City, you got that ice cream shop with all of that cheesy in there, too.
Oh, I love that place. That's a weakness for me, too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep, it's a kidney scoop, but not a kidney scoop, by any means.
No, I enjoy it. That's a good place. I like that. Always go to the Marine City Fish Company, have dinner, and then go to the ice cream place. And then you got to go to the popcorn place and bring the popcorn for home. And I wonder why I have a weight problem.
Don't feel bad. I'm the same way with donuts, except for French crullers. I hate French crullers.
That's a donut, isn't it?
No, the French curler looks like that little twisted, not the bow tie, that's a raised donut. But a French curler is a different whole mix compared to cake and cheese donut. And it's circular, but it's a twisted circular. I just don't like the taste of them, and I don't like the smell of them.
It needs more sugar and butter. That fixes everything. My favorite dessert of all time is cannolis. I love cannolis.
Vince and Joe's, 25 and Van Dyke has the best.
Yes, sir. There must be a party in New Baltimore and I didn't get invited. This is really crowded.
Right to the Fly Festival.
Festival. All right, dude, I'm out. N-A-P-P.
Same here, I'm almost to the hangar. 73, enjoy the night with the kiddos. K-A-C-A-K-A-G-O.
All right, so you're there. Have a good night, guys. I was just learning. I'll talk to you guys later. N-A-D-B-S.
The Food Network. We're going to start a net.
Nothing better than a Bill Maps cake and a QPS.
You did have the fish fry over here in Memphis. That's the Knights of Columbus Hall, by the way, Raleigh.
Accomplished. Kids, grandkids full of sugary ice cream, gave them back to their parents. And ate the curry.
KF8DRC from KF8DSF, Jack Yasser. KF8DRC from KF8DSF. KF8DSF clear.
KE8RUH to NADDF. KF8ESF. KF8ERC. Copy.
KF8DSF. How you doing, Jack?
Oh, very good. How about you? You sounding good.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I'm doing pretty good. Finally got that up on the roof. So it's sounding all right, though.
Yes, sounding very clear. Sounds like you're sitting by me here. Roger.
Well, very good. I'm glad to hear it. It's been a little while waiting to get that up there, so finally did her today. You sound pretty good down there, too. You on your TYT 390?
Yes, I'm on 390. I was talking to Dan in Cleveland, in Ohio, down there. That's why I heard you, but I couldn't get back to you because he was with me on the DMRS.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't hear you. On GMRS, I've been scanning here, but it didn't seem like there was too much action going on anywhere tonight.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so quiet on that GMRS. This morning it was not bad, but, you know, I wasn't on it. But now he called and I heard him out there, so I had to answer his call.
Yeah, good deal. Well, it sounds like you might get your radios tuned up here this weekend. I think I heard, I don't know, is it Eric or someone out there saying they were going to get to you?
Yeah, no problem. But this radio is doing good anyhow, so. And it's a handheld, so, which is good anyhow. You know what, I don't know if... I wouldn't worry too much at 1.6. I know it's a lot, but I wouldn't worry about it too much.
What's that, the SWR?
Yes, the SWR. Roger.
Yeah, I sent you that picture. I got to cut the top of that pipe off. I ran out of, when I put the clamp up there, the pipe was smaller diameter, and I ran out of threads on the clamp, so I just got to cut that top off. It should be that way anyways. I don't think it should be mounted that far down.
Well, I would leave it alone right now because it's working okay. And if he had a problem, then yeah, you got to do that. But I won't worry about it too much right now. Not this kind of weather. Roger.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't thinking about doing it tomorrow or anything because it's going to get, I guess, some rain here coming in. It's going to be all downhill for the next couple of days anyways. But, yeah, it's good to get away from the mag mount. You know, I was working on that Comet 2x4 mag mount for a while.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that magnet mount is a good magnet mount, 2x4. It is. And I always had it. Didn't have no problem at all from it at all. Even if I put it inside the pickup truck, it still can get out.
Yeah, I've had really good luck with it so far. I heard quite a few people running it, so yeah, it's definitely a good antenna. It's nothing to do with you, Jack.
Oh, nothing much. I went outside today. It's been, like a half a day outside. Cleaned up a little bit. You know, there's leaves all over. Cleaned them up a little bit. Put them in the garbage can. Take the garbage can somewhere else. Put it outside and all that. You know, for sometimes the garbage man comes on Saturday, so they come and pick them up, the leaves. So I had to do this all day. Then I just came in inside and... And I was on, I ate a little bit. It's Friday, I ate fish. And that's about it.
Yeah, I hear you with the sticks and the twigs and all that. I got a bunch of them out in my yard too, but I was pretty much working on that intender today. I had someone holding the ladder for me, so I figured I was going to get out there and get her done today. Hey, I'm going to turn the switch on this mic, a sound switch, and just see if it sounds any different. Hang on. All right, does that sound any different at all, Jack, or no?
Yeah, it's a little bit, the audio a little bit, you know, like a little bit higher. But the other one, it sounds like, you know, the audio, you know, I mean, like a little bit, not low, but I don't know, to me it looks like it's a good audio.
You sound great, Eddie QPS. All right. QS, I think it was. Oh, I got a switch here. One and two on the mic. I just wonder what it did, if it sounded better on one or two. Right now it's on two.
No, on my end it sounds great, yeah. No, November 8th, Quebec for Pop Pop Check.
Awesome. Appreciate the feedback there. Brand new ham here. I just got my license a week ago today.
Oh, no kidding. Congratulations. That's exciting. I got licensed as a teenager, so welcome to the club. Glad to have you. Thank you. Yeah.
I appreciate that. I spent a long time waiting for my license. I passed the test on March 4th, and my paperwork got lost, and they told me to just keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally they said it got lost, and I said, well, let's resend it. So it took me 3 weeks before I actually got it. So Jack passed his test, we talk on GMRS, after I passed mine. He got his license before I did, so, but we're both on this side now.
It's very exciting. That's awesome. Glad to hear it. I got licensed when I was a kid, and got back into it right before COVID. I got my general, and been enjoying it ever since. So, well, welcome to the hobby.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I had it in my family. My mom was a ham operator back in the 80s, and she was actually an extra. And I never had any really desire for ham radio at that time, and it's funny how it went full circle. She's gone. We lost her in 2016, but anyways, she was an extra and one of the first women in Genesee County to get her extra license. So pretty impressive. I used to watch her do the CW back in the day, and just amazed me how she could do that on that CW.
Oh yeah, very. That's very special. You should actually see if you could get her call sign. That would be really cool. But I know what you mean. I think you could do it.
Actually, it's funny you say that. I tried to get her extra call sign, and it was actually taken up. And ironically, my name is Greg, and so is the guy that got her license. He's down in Ohio. But I went after her license before she became a extra, and from what I could tell as a search, it wasn't available, so I put into that, just waiting to hear.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, all the best to you.
Appreciate it. Jack, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm listening. KFADRC.
Alright, so anyways, on that SWR, you know, I was getting 1.6. I tried a bunch of different frequencies. I got 1.7 when I was on 14400, and I got 1.6 when I was on 146. So, I don't know if that's too high to worry about, but I got a lot of extra coax I think I can eliminate once I figure out where I'm going to put my station.
That gentleman out there, where you're located at? I'm over here at Rochester Hills.
Thank you. We're talking about the gentleman NAQP, I believe.
Yes, I think so. I don't know. Probably gone. Well, I think he's gone anyhow. We'll talk later. I got to clear out of here because I got a couple of things to do here. You take care. We'll talk later. KFADRC.
Okay, Jack. You have a good evening. We'll chat with you later. I'll be monitoring. KFADSF. We'll be clear.
W8FU, KFA, DRC, copy.
Hello, Jack, how you doing? KFA, DRC, ABDR, Phil here.
Oh, hello, Phil. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Been out of town for a little bit. Got back last night. Going to breakfast tomorrow.
Yes, I'll be there tomorrow. I was on Sunday and there in West Bloomfield, and I couldn't get out on the warrant. So because I didn't have that other radio, the one program for me, I didn't have that with me. I had that DY 390s. So I really couldn't get back on that repeater he got there. Roger?
Yeah, no problem. Where were you out on the west side?
Yeah, I was on the west side like for 6 hours there. I really tried and tried, and because this radio is not programmed for that yet. So, I'll bring you down with me tomorrow anyhow. Roger?
Roger, very good. Yeah. Sorry to hear you couldn't get on, but it's okay. Let's let's see, hopefully this week I'm also going to have amplifier situation resolved, so that should be a lot better, at least for hearing it.
Oh, no problem, Phil, but you're sounding good. You're sounding really excellent.
Well, thank you. You do too. So, what's been going on the last week and a half? I understand there was a bunch of severe weather went through. I'm glad I missed it.
Phil, you did the best thing. You missed it, really. It was so bad here, and for 2 days, the people were without power, and Flint, and a little bit past Flint. They had 2 days with no power out there.
What area was hit the hardest?
I really didn't get anything with that. I just, you know, ignored it a little bit, but the people, there was no power for 2 days.
Yeah, that's rough. That's always a problem. Not so much for me. I've got a generator, so if we lose power, it's like 10 seconds later it comes back on.
Well, you're lucky. If I lose power here, it doesn't come on another like 5 hours or 6 hours because so many trees here at this Rochester Hills.
Yeah, we got lots of trees too. The tree cutting crews have been very busy this last year in our neighborhoods. And they've been going through all kinds of ways, but it still goes out.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. Now Phil, what is your call sign again? I want to write it down on my book.
Yeah, it's Alpha Bravo 8 Papa Radio.
I got you. ABAPR.
Right. Yeah, the PR is my initials, so that was made it easy.
Oh, another question. Are you next to that repeater you got out there, or are you coming through Warren?
No, I'm going through my out here in West Mobile. I'm only a few miles from it. So, and it hasn't started raining where you're yet. It's going to. It just started raining here, and we're still west of it, so you should be getting it.
Yes, it's started raining here too. Exactly, you're right. Roger.
Roger. All right, we'll see you in the morning. I'm just about home, so got to unload. We've got a trunk full of groceries, got to unload. Catch you later, Jack. KF8DRC, AB8PR.
All right, Phil, good to talk to you, and you take care, and we'll talk tomorrow. KF8. DRC.
KF8, DRC, KF8, AYL.
AYO. What's happening, Ken? KF8, DRC.
Oh, well, not too much aside from losing my ass in the stock market today, but other than that, we're enjoying a cigar and trying to not think about it.
I would say, Ken, enjoy the cigar and I want to think about it. Roger?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get into politics, but I don't really like what's happening. Anyway, we're supposed to get we're getting snow flurries right now. We're supposed to get snow here.
Oh, it's raining in here. The rain coming down here. Just started it. Roger.
Yeah, it was a nice day, and the temperature just kind of plummeted past 6 o'clock, and now it's flurrying. Just flurries. Kind of nice, gentle flurries. Trying to say it's okay. Don't worry about your stock market losses.
Again, I won't think about that right now, really. Just enjoy that cigar, and that is the main thing. To me, that's what I like.
Well, it's just kind of hard when you scrupulously scrimp and save and, you know, drive piece-of-shit cars for years and so you can save money, and then it just all vanishes in a day. Or two. Yeah, I know. I know how it goes.
I don't know who was that, Ken. Anyhow. It's snowing there, which is good, anyhow. To keep it a little bit cooler for you out there.
Yeah, time to fire up the wood stove for the next 3 days, it looks like. It's supposed to be high in the 30s and low in the 20s, so that's wood stove for sure. So it's coming back on.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yep. Well, Ken, I gotta get something to eat and enjoy that cigar again. And we'll talk to you maybe later tonight or tomorrow. KHDRC.
All right, Mr. Jack, enjoy your dinner, food, and we'll talk to you later. KFA, you well.
KFADRC from W8FU.
Okay, but a little bit scratchy.
Hills, so maybe about 10, 15 miles away.
Yeah, okay, I'm going one. Real good. Oh, that's very good. Yeah, it's not too bad tonight, but I just wanted to be here, so really good. Well, anyway, I know I'll get this in memory, and
good to hear you, Dan. No problem at all. We'll talk tomorrow, probably. Maybe it's better tomorrow. I don't know yet. The weather is a little bit raining here. Roger. Dan, I didn't get that at all. All right. Well, Dan, you're cutting off a little bit. Anyhow, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Either way, here or the other side. Take care. Have a good evening. KF8DRC.
Jack, do you know where he's located?
He's by, 30 miles away from Cleveland.
Okay. A little bit of an opening. Yeah, I can't think of anything that would help him. So, all righty.
No problem. But, John, I text Bob, and I also called him on the phone. He didn't answer the phone, so I left him a message. Roger.
Okay, well, now he knows. So it's back online. So that ought to be real good news for him. I know it's kind of secluded up there, and especially when with all the weather they've been having. So he'll probably be quite happy to be back online. Gotta see you at breakfast tomorrow.
Yes, Dino will be there too tomorrow. He's gonna get the 9:30, the 9:390, the radio correct way with the computer. So I gotta bring the computer with me.
All right, sounds like a winner. Yeah, we can get you hooked up one way or the other. So. All right, Jack, we'll see you then. Let's get back to it. KF8, DRC, W8FU.
W8FU from KF8, DRC.
KF8AYL.